AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Matt Hunter here. Good fun. By the way, I enjoyed seeing your mom out at the Blue State Ball. What a delight.
Yeah, she had a blast.
She had a hoot. She's a hoot, man. It was good fun, and good job on the music, too.
Yeah, the whole Blue State Ball was really fun.
That was a good time. Did you know about Eric dressing that good, man?
No, I was jealous the whole time.
He was, man. He was fly.
Yeah, I was having issues in my head because of that.
You had issues. I'm sitting next to Fugle sang the entire time. I look like the after picture on extreme medical testing next to that guy.
Yeah, he stood out. He's a beautiful looking guy.
Yeah. God, it was good fun. We had a good time. Once again, lots of photos. As a matter of fact, there's a blog post up on Progressive Citizen X now. There is, of course, we put the pictures up on Matt McNeil Show, Progressive Citizen X on Facebook, Matt McNeil Show on Twitter. They're all there. Enjoy. Peruse. See if we can find you, because I got a lot of crowd shots there. So, especially people with food in their mouth. My pleasure. You're welcome. 952-946-6205. Iconic picture of Minnesota in the Minneapolis, not Minnesota, Minneapolis in the winter. Guy on the fat, tired unicycle okay. When it's minus 6 degrees unicycling to work in Minneapolis. Oh, for God's sakes, man. It is so Minneapolis. It's so Minneapolis, I can't even say it. But God, what is – there is a social media ad now for these extreme hammockers now, too. God, they
extreme
can't.
Extreme hammocking?
Yeah, they go like they're at 65,000 feet and they're slackliners, too. Yeah. They're slackliners who are hammocking. Stop it. It's only getting worse. Hunter, did you hear this? It's only going to get worse. The number of electric scooters hitting the streets of Minneapolis could triple this year. Triple! City Collinsville's Transportation and Public Works Committee on Tuesday extended the licensing agreement for the scooters through March 31st, 2020. Up 2,000 scooters would be deployed through the city, up from 600 last year. Although it's not certain when the scooters will be back on the sidewalks, one of the two scooter share companies that operated last year says it's eager to return. We're ready to go as soon as the weather cooperates, said Nico Probst. Nico Probst. Okay. The Midwestern representative for Lime, which is along with Bird, deployed. God. Deployed their scooters last year in the Minneapolis-St. Paul. There can be very flexible. Almost 226,000 trips were taken on the scooters between July 10th and November 30th last year, according to data collected by the city. Really? So July 10th, November 30th, we'll just ballpark that at what, 60, 90, 120, we'll just go with 150 days. So 226, we're going to match math corner here. Calculator, 226,000 divided by 150, 1,500 rides per day, man.
Wow, that's a lot.
Lime and Bird, one of those Lime and Bird scooters. We have to have everything given to us, don't we? We have to get on the scooters and we can't walk anymore. We can't, it's all look at me. We have become an Instagram world, haven't we? Isn't that unicorn guy in the middle of winter on his unicorn, fat, tired unicorn going into work in a winter day in Minnesota? In Minneapolis, it's the scooters, slackliners. Look at me, look at me.
It's the future.
It's okay. Without trying to sound like a curmudgeon here, it's a future that sucks. Come on, be happy with yourself and don't demand the world have to look at you and bow down to your greatness. Just be you, dude. Don't try so hard. Stop trying so just normal people don't dangle off of cliffs in a hammock. They don't. Do you know who does that? Mountain climbers, not recreational slackliners.
So these scooters, can't you take them and park them anywhere?
Yeah.
Are you thinking of St. Anthony Falls? Yeah.
I don't know if you can. The problem is this. Okay, first of all, no, we are not for vandalizing the scooters. I did read this very entertaining art.
Just saying, store them all somewhere. Inconvenient.
Like a warehouse. Someone's warehouse space. We're just going to get them all and put them in there. That's another one gone. I bet no. We're not. I don't want vandalism. I don't want people breaking this stuff. I want people to – if you really want to do a motorized scooter through town, fine. Just know when I see you, I'm going to be laughing, okay? Those two meat sticks you have at the lower part of your body, they're for walking, okay? They're designed for this. You know, Og wasn't hunting the Great Plains of North America in his electric scooter, although – it would make for a heck of a next Back to the Future. And like I said, you know, the amount of guys with ponytails riding them just told me everything right then. The fact that almost every guy I ever saw was either wearing a freaking beret or had a ponytail. A freaking beret, man. What are you doing? Do you have fake glasses too? Are you wearing a decorative scarf in the middle of summer? Stop. If your personality is not that good, work on that, okay? Because eventually you are going to have to communicate with other human beings. And all the flashiness and the showiness only can take you so far. All right? Do we have to get Tricycle up? That's our Tricycle?
Yeah.
They're looking for expansion. AM 950, the Matt McNeil Show's own startup company, Tricycle, might have to make a triumphant return to the Metro Core. With our tricycle, electric tricycles. Not electric, just tricycles, just a tricycle. And we just have to market it correctly to hipsters. That way they will, you know, just they'll get on a tricycle and tricycle around town. We can mock and laugh at them. We're making money as we do it, though. I think that's a winner chicken dinner kind of an idea.
Mm-hmm.
952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Tricycle's going to make a triumphant return. Mark my words. All right. So let's get to the ugly. I'm going to sweep that aside. Everyone braced. Everyone ready. ICE officers have released 12 of the infants that were being held at a rural Texas detention center where immigrant advocates claim they dealt with dirty water, limited baby food, and lack of medical care. The release comes days after immigration advocates called on the Department of Homeland Security to intervene immediately. In an email Monday, ICE said there were 16 infants younger than a year old held at the South Texas Family Residential Center in Dilley, Texas, as of Friday, March 1st. The status of the remaining four babies is unclear. ICE also said there's another infant under the age of one detained. An infant under the age of one detained. Jeez. At the Texas Carnes Detention Center. Both facilities are about an hour away from San Antonio, the nearest metropolitan center. All the mothers and their infants were released to friends and family members who are ready to buy them a bus or plane ticket and receive them in their home, said Katie Murza, the advocacy coordinator with the American Immigration Council's Dilley Pro Bono Project. Every mother I spoke with said that their child was sick in some way, Murza said in a telephone interview Friday with CBS News. Murza said she worked with immigrants in Dilley in almost 2 years and had rarely seen infants at the detention center until last week. It's really hard seeing all these very small babies in a detention setting. The infants were the subject of a complaint fired by immigration advocates to the DHS Office of Inspector General last week. Three advocacy groups, the American Immigration Council, the American Immigration Lawyers Association, and the Catholic Legal Immigration Network, also sent letters to the House Judiciary Committee, which plans on holding long overdue hearings on the conditions behind the doors of immigration detention centers, according to Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren, who represents California's 19th. Conditions in immigrant detentions are not appropriate places for children, period, Lofgren said in an email Monday to CBS News. It's not clear why the number of detained babies spiked last week. Prior to their arrival, ICE had set an unspoken rule that mothers with young babies seeking asylum would bypass the usual detainment process, Mirzda said. Typically, immigrants are held in custody until officials can determine they aren't a danger to the community or a flight risk. From the National Katie Shepard from the National Advocacy Council for the Immigration Justice Campaign at the American Immigration Council. It's very disturbing and ludicrous that ICE is saying we have to make assessments as to whether or not a five-month-old is a danger or flight risk. Wow. Shepard told CBS News Mirzda suspected the sudden increase of very young infants was connected to the recent arrival of a caravan at the nearby Eagle Pass port of entry where about 2,000 immigrants showed up last month. Baby prisons. We are holding infants. Infants. Dear Lord. Infants. Someone looked at a baby and said, we have to determine if they're a risk to the American people and put them into baby prison. 17 of them total this week alone. Because they have to determine if a five-month-old who can't walk and probably can barely crawl is a flight risk. It is terrifying how far we have fallen as a country. It is absolutely terrifying. I have zero doubt that if this crap was going on under Obama, under W, under Clinton, under HW, under Reagan, Carter, Ford, Nixon, go back in time. That people would have said, what are we doing? You're putting babies where? But in this day and age, not only are we actually having grown adults say, lock that baby up because they could be a flight risk. We have people defending this behavior and this method of securing the border. Babies. 17 total, 12 were released. The other four, I guess they must have gotten time added to their because of, I don't know, maybe they got into a fight with the prison warden. I don't know. He spit up too much. He gets another 3 weeks in the hole. Wow. How did we get to this point? I mean, seriously, how do you get to this point? How are so many Christians, how can you be Christian? How can you hear this? How can you hear this? As today is Fat Tuesday, tomorrow is the beginning of Lent with Ash Wednesday. How can you hear this? How can you hear any of this and think as a Christian, fine with me, that baby deserved it. That baby deserved it. And not only is the baby in prison, but once again, dirty water, not enough baby food, lack of medical care. Without a doubt in my mind, we are eventually going to find out that this, as bad as it is just the tip of the iceberg. I have a bad feeling that multiple children have died in U.S. custody, that is part of the reason why we have this missing a group of kids is because we have kids who have died and the federal government just doesn't want to admit it. And we have no idea where their parents are. Babies last week were held under the Trump administration policy in baby prisons.
But good news, they were only held for a few days as babies because I guess they got out with good behavior. It just disgusts me where we are at as a country. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Let's take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chuske, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
We are awake.
Hi, this is Charlie. Dad, do I have to say this next line?
Do you want to sleep inside tonight?
My dad is beloved, world-famous radio broadcaster Matt McNeil.
Perfect!
Anyway, my mom and dad want me safe when I'm driving in winter weather. That's why the vehicle they trust is the Toyota Sienna, and the dealership they trust is Rudy Luther Toyota. They keep me safe.
With my son driving this winter, I trust Rudy Luther, and you can too. Stop in today and become a Rudy Luther Toyota family. The southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Many people feel a deep void in their lives, as though something is missing, something that's not material in nature. The answers can be found with spiritual or soul coaching. Connie Bjork at Awaken Living takes you through a process which nourishes the deepest part of you, your spirit or soul. Learning more about this important aspect can help you move through your life with greater enrichment and joy. It doesn't deal with religion. Instead, it's about you and your connection to your higher power, by whatever name you connect with. Connie at Awakened Living will help you explore your beliefs, both those that you were given as a child and those you have developed throughout your life, in a safe environment. Internal conflict and confusion can arise when they don't seem to match up. Spiritual coaching with Connie at Awaken Living will heal you in ways you've never dreamed possible. Schedule an appointment today by calling 952-452-8583 or visiting awakenlivinginfusion.com.
Get out of the cold at Burger Mo's. Burger Monday Madness happens every Monday after 4 p.m., except on Excel event evenings, where you can order any burger with fries on the menu for just $6. Burger Mo's always offers fresh, never-frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, desserts, two daily happy hours, and 60 beers on tap. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Yep, babies. Babies. We are locking up babies. We're locking up babies. Oh, my God. And we're locking up babies in subpar, substandard facilities. Wow. 952-946-6205. I've got a lot to unpack here with this next story because there's two very distinct angles I want to go with this. And it has to do with Ilhan Omar. Reading the story today, Democrats in the U.S. House plan to vote Wednesday on a resolution condemning comments made by U.S. Representative Ilhan Omar that many of her colleagues reviewed as anti-Semitic. The firestorm erupted over comments Omar made last week at a Washington, D.C. bookstore in which she accused supporters of Israel of allegiance to a foreign country, which has historically been used as an anti-Semitic charge against Jewish citizens in an attempt to question their loyalty. U.S. Representative Nita Lowey, influential Democrat chairman of the House Appropriations Committee that determines how federal budget will be apportioned, called on Omar over the weekend to retract the statement, engage in further dialogue with the Jewish community on why these comments are so hurtful. Omar, who has himself been a target of violent anti-Semitic rhetoric, Islamic rhetoric, struck back at Lowry on Twitter, "Our democracy is built on debate. Congresswoman, I should not be expected to have allegiance, pledge support to a foreign country in order to serve my country in Congress or serve the gun committee. The people of the Fifth elected me to serve in their interest. I sure we agree on that." This is mildly – this okay, first of all, let me go back and reiterate that regardless of your – the congresswoman's intent, Ilhan Omar's intent, that statement of questioning loyalty to Israel over the United States has historically been used against the Jews as a way to you know, as an anti-Semitism campaign against them. In the same sense is that when the Italians came here, there was a lot of people screaming they had loyalty to the Pope, and you had to denounce the Pope and you had to denounce Italy and all these things. And that was the kind of the same thing. And it's historically been a way to discriminate. That the fact that, you know, that they have gone after the Jewish people this way, that is something that, you know, that's undeniable. And so you can say, like myself, the second thing I'm going to say here is I support Israel. I do support Israel. I don't like Benjamin Netanyahu. I think he's a jerk. But I like Israel, and I like the country of Israel, and I want the country of Israel to flourish in the same sense as I want the country of Ireland to flourish and the country of India to flourish and the country of Iceland to flourish. Indonesia, by all means, your allies of the United States, I want you to flourish. And I do not believe that just because someone says they support Israel, is that in any way putting Israel ahead of the United States? Oh, hell no, in my case. I'm USA. And even with the clown car in the White House right now, I love my country, and the United States is not even close. It's the United States number one, numero uno. That's me. USA. I was in the Army, for goodness sakes. Of course, I'm a proud American. But I do also support Israel. And that doesn't mean if you want to question my loyalties, good luck with that. Very proud American. So, once again, Representative, you got to be careful with your words here, because it's very clear that this is something that people are taking offense with, and it is very easy to understand how people are labeling this anti-Semitic. That is what I'm going to say. Now, let me also unload two other things here, if I can. When it comes to this idea of loyalty to Israel over the United States, this isn't necessarily something that is completely irrational for someone like Ilhan Omar to put forward. And let me remind everyone of a specific incident. In early 2015, the Obama administration was deep into negotiations with Iran over its nuclear program. Republican House Speaker John Boehner invited Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who stridently opposed the deal, to address a joint session of Congress. The speech itself, which was intended to convince Congress to scuttle the agreement, turned out to be a dud. Instead of shaming Democrats into opposing the deal, Bibi seemed to unify them in support of it. But the public spectacle of a foreign leader attempting to undermine the American president on U.S. soil at the request of his political adversaries was symbolically striking. Later, polling would show that GOP voters generally felt more warmly about Netanyahu than their actual commander-in-chief. Republicans haven't just rejected Obama. They've adopted Netanyahu as their leader, said Slate's Will Salatin, wrote in it at the time. Does a majority of the Republican Party identify more with Israeli interests than with American interests, he continued. When Israeli's prime minister speaks on the floor of the Congress, do Republicans feel more allegiance to him than to their president? If so, will the feeling subside once Obama leaves office, or does it signify an enduring rift in the fabric of this country? It's an interesting question. And I want to bring this up because we were doing shows back then. And Republicans were calling us and saying they were far more in support of Israel than Barack Obama's America. And when I said, well, it's not Barack Obama, he doesn't own it, he's just the president, you're saying, you know, you support Israel over America. And they said, well, at this point, yes, we had Republicans call this station who said their loyalty to Israel was more than their loyalty to the United States. That's undeniable. That was what was going on at this point, because they were trying to embarrass Barack Obama on the Iranian deal. And Randy and Coon Rapids called in and defended the Israelis and was talking about how I wish Benjamin Netanyahu was our prime minister. And that the American interest first should be with Israel. So it's understandably
the statement that a loyalty, if you're loyal to Israel, you're somehow anti-American, is anti-Semitic. That's undeniable. But the Republicans themselves, only 3 years ago, were all claiming to be more loyal to Israel than they were to the United States. Well, not all of them, but definitely some of them were. And they proudly brought in Benjamin Netanyahu into the Congress to try to embarrass Obama. Because he's the leader we should have. I wish we were in Israel right now. You can't deny that. And that whether or not you want to acknowledge that moment in history, there were a lot of Republicans who were clearly more supportive of Israel than they were the United States at that time because it embarrassed Barack Obama. So there has been a moment where that it's not exactly a tough reach. Now, once again, I believe in a strong Israel. My loyalties are with the United States of America. It's easy to see why people can be offended by what Ilhan Omar stated, but the Republicans themselves brought this upon, you know, there's going to be a lot of people that remember that 2015 fawning session over Benjamin Netanyahu because all the Republicans were trying to do was embarrass Barack Obama. And I don't know if they necessarily really did believe that Israel was more important than the United States, but they gleefully pushed that narrative because they felt it embarrassed the president. The other thing is that there are people, not necessarily Jewish groups, but there are numerous people that do want to silence Ilhan Omar. They do. I mean, she herself has been the target of two threats in the last week, one a death threat that was written in a gas station, the other one in the West Virginia house, where someone equated her to 9/11. There, one thing that Ilhan Omar does bring, now once again, I'm not condoning the anti-Semitic comments, but she does bring a different perspective that we generally have not heard from in this country. If we can figure out how to communicate without infuriating, I think we'll be better for it. But without a doubt in my mind, there are people in this country that want to silence her. And where I don't condone her comments, I think she definitely has a right to speak her, you know, about what she is passionate about from her opinion. And if she can, you know, once again, maybe talk to the Democratic leadership. Ask if, you know, could if I post this out there, is this going to be construed as something anti-Semitic? By all means, it's an education process. We're learning together. But at the same time, we should also learn that when people are putting a picture of Ilhan Omar with 9/11 attackers, that there's some freaking education that has to happen there, too. When people are sending her death threats, there's some education that has to happen there, too. But since we bring it up, now we're really caring about anti-Semitic talk because I want to be honest with you. Republicans have been pretty damn anti-Semitic for the last 10 years, and yeah, there hasn't been nearly the outrage as there is at Ilhan Omar right now. And considering what Steve King already did, what, 2 days ago? 2 days ago, I'm wondering how much of this is cover for Steve King to prevent him from having to answer for his anti-Semitic comments. I'll get to that in a second. Gary in Minneapolis, I'll get to you as well here in a second. 952-946-6205. I do want to remind everyone that Todd Kolod sponsors us here at AM 950 Radio. Very happy to have him sponsor us. If you would like to sponsor AM 950, we encourage you to do so. You can just call us 952-946-8885, 952-946-8885. Todd's message to us this week, 2 bands, 8 albums, 59 original songs. Final installment gets delivered April 1st. Grounded is going to be the final album from Just Folk. We've got a link up on social media, on Twitter and on Facebook, for you to go find
the songs that he's posted up there. You can listen to the whole album out on April 1st. Thanks, Todd, once again for sponsoring us here at AM 950. Once again, if you'd like to find out more information about that, 952-946-8885. Take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, Gregory Rich, founder and chief at Habitation Furnishing and Design, and now I'd like to invite you to kill your Sunday evenings with me right here on AM 950 with Drink in the Style. It's a one-hour long conversation about interior design, art, architecture, and pretty much anything else, visual and aesthetic, all while enjoying some booze handcrafted by our friends at Gianni's Steakhouse in downtown Wayzata. Can you think of a better way to spend Sunday evenings? Drink in the Style, Sundays, 5 p.m.
Hi, this is Laura, and I want to tell you about my family's favorite thing. It's our wood stove. We bought it about 14 years ago from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. And see, the wood stove has actually paid for itself because we can keep the main area that we live in toasty warm with this great moist heat. But more important than saving money, it has actually improved our lives. Having a fire simplifies life. It provides comfort. It sort of takes the chill out of winter.
I'm Peter Solak. In 1977, I started Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I experienced the simple joy of warming myself by a fire. I also realized that the place and the way we embrace fire has evolved in a diversity of forms and styles. So at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have brought together the widest selection of our fireplace products and technical knowledge in the Twin Cities. Our mission is to use our knowledge to help you choose the design and function that is right for you and your home.
Visit Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces today and find the right fire for you.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
Any time is the right time to update your music collection, so stop in at the Electric Fetus and browse their massive selection. You'll find everything from rock and pop to international and roots, and so much more, on CD and vinyl. Not only is Electric Fetus the best stop for music, but they also carry a wide and unique range of gifts. Bath products, clothing, books, stationery, candles, incense, you name it. That's the Electric Fetus at 2000 4th Avenue South in Minneapolis and online at efetus.com.
950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Programming brought to you by EatLocalMinnesota.com. Restaurant of the week is It's Greek to Me over on Lindale Lake there. Great news for you. They're open for lunch now, Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. So they're open at 11. You can go get some lunch there. They got their new marketplace. Fantastic option for lunch. If you're anywhere on the south side, stop on in there. Greek food, it is delicious. It's a great option there for lunch now. Once again, brand new lunch hours for It's Greek to Me. Open Tuesday through Sunday at 11 a.m. Once again, this top two, it's GreekToMeMN.com. It's GreekToMeMN.com for more information. It's Greek to Me, the EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week, 952-946-6205. Once again, I want to reiterate what I just said here because I want no one to be able to confuse us. Ilhan Omar, her statements were inappropriate, and she should apologize, and that was wrong. Because, you know, there were these litmus tests that people put out there that, you know, try to condemn Jews by saying they were more you know, loyal to Israel than they were to the United States, and that's not right. Also, I'm for a strong Israel, in the same sense that I'm for a strong England, and a strong France, and a strong Germany, and a strong Japan. I am for a strong Israel. That doesn't mean I am more loyal to Israel. It means I support our allies. That being said, Republicans themselves brought some of this upon themselves when they brought the Benjamin Netanyahu in to the House and Senate for a joint session to Congress for Benjamin Netanyahu to speak and condemn Barack Obama in the United States in front of this. They brought him in to condemn him, and a lot of Republicans at the time were saying they were more for the interests of Israel than for Barack Obama's America. That was them. And people looking at that and remembering that, that's the question. I mean, that is something that the Republicans, you know, why did you guys do that outside of just to try to embarrass Barack Obama? And as wrong as some of Ilhan Omar's comments were, there are people that do not want her opinions to be heard. That just period. And I'll get to more of that here in a second, because once again, and there has been anti-Islamic hatred that has been spread that I have yet to hear really anyone condemn, but has been out there. And if we're going to condemn hatred, let's condemn hatred. Let's not pick and choose like it's a buffet. Either it's bad or it's not. And I think it's bad. And so I'm going to go after people who are anti-Semitic, but also anti-Islamic, racist, bigoted, anti-trans, anti-gay. I'm going to go after people. I do not tolerate that. I have never have. I don't. I never will. All right. Let's go to Gary first here in Minneapolis. Gary in Minneapolis, welcome on in.
Well, I don't really know the answer to Israel. I know they have the extremist party. I believe that prime minister is a Likud party. And he seems to not go at all for the two-state solution, which they say is the proper solution. But, you know, and also Amy Goodman and many Jewish people are critical of Israel. But I was going to say, you know, there's the Bachmans of the world, too, and her followers. They support the extremist view over there to the hill so they can get Armageddon and so they can, the chosen few can go to heaven. Of course, most of the Jewish won't go to heaven either because they're the believers and the rest of us will stay down here or go down below and rot.
Well, and Gary, I'm going to let me step on in here. About 3 months ago, I talked to a guy who said, I believe in Israel over the United States. He was not Jewish. He was far-right Christian. He was far-right Christian. That there is this sentiment that's out there, and it's something that I am from the USA. I believe in America first, and that is my favorite country. I do want to have our strong allies. I want a strong Canada. I want a strong Mexico. I do. I want our strong allies to be strong, but my loyalties are not to another country over my own country. And there have been people that have made people question what is going on here. Now, traditionally, this has been used in an anti-Semitic way. We can't deny that. But the Republicans still have to answer why they, you know, some of their behavior in 2015 with Obama and Benjamin Netanyahu. And the numerous people that were calling in and saying, yeah, I'm more for supporting Israel than a Barack Obama's America. That's what they were saying back then. Jim is in St. Louis Park. Welcome on in, Jim.
Hi, I'm a huge Ilhan supporter. I knocked on many doors to her. I joined her campaign the very night she started running. And where is the outrage from the Republicans about Trump? I mean, he's openly supported neo-Nazi organizations. He says stuff about his own daughter that makes me feel a little bit sick to my stomach. He has daily rants where he lies about people from Mexico.
Jim, let's just stay on point there. You know, he was basically saying there were good Nazis at Charlottesville. He said there was good Nazis at Charlottesville. I mean that should be condemned pretty harshly. And there's a lot of Republicans who have not even brought that forward yet. And
it alarms me how many. It seems like a lot of Democrats took the bait.
Well,
I think that.
Yeah, well,
too much criticism.
I'll say this. There is something that's going on here, and I want to break this down next. And David, hold on. I'll get to your call here in a second. Once again, I brought up the fact that Ilhan Omar herself has been the victim of anti-Islamic hate the last few days. And I have yet to see anyone be nearly as critical of those condemnations as they are. But how about this little gem? For the third time in less than a year, Representative Steve King, Republican from Iowa, has promoted an openly white nationalist on Twitter. On Friday, the congressman tweeted, Faith Goldie, the Canadian white nationalist who has publicly recited the 14 words, a white supremacist mantra, and who once recommended a book that calls for the elimination of the Jews. Goldie has once appeared on a podcast produced by the Daily Stormer, our neo-Nazi website, which advocates for gassing Jews. In that podcast, Goldie praised white supremacist figurehead Richard Spencer. King is well aware of who Goldie is. In October, he endorsed Goldie for a long-shot run for mayor of Toronto. The endorsement led to widespread condemnation of the congressman. Not really. I mean, a few people were upset, but not widespread. But, scares. 10:51 on Friday night, the congressman promoted Goldie on Twitter anyway. In his tweet, King claimed that the criminal aliens represented average of he went into his usual hate speech. So, if we are going to be critical of anti-Semitic behavior, Steve King is calling for your attention. And it's remarkable to me because clearly the front page news is Ilhan Omar, Ilhan Omar, Ilhan Omar, Ilhan Omar. And once again, 10 years, Republicans, 10 freaking years, Republicans have been saying anti-Semitic things. And people don't, what are you going to do? It's Republicans. And even on Friday, Steve King, for the third time, embraced this Nazi troll from Canada. Have you seen anything about it? Have you seen anything about it? Nowhere, not even mentioned anywhere in the Ilhan Omar stories? That's pretty infrickin' excusable. And if that doesn't show you the selective nature of the outrage here, I don't know what it is. I mean, people are furious with Ilhan Omar, and that's fine. You want to be. Well, then where's your outrage about Steve King? Where's your outrage about the bigotry against Ilhan Omar? But that all aside, let me get back to the main thrust of my point for the last two freaking weeks. Representative Cal Barr was in the Minnesota House, or the rotunda at the Capitol in the Minnesota House, and called for violence against the Democrats who were writing common sense gun legislation. When he was called out about it, he said, throw them to the curb, stomp on them, and then run over them a few times. When he was called out on it, he lied. He said he was only talking about the bills. No, he clearly was talking about the people writing the bills. And then he said, oh, I didn't incite violence. Throw him to the curb, stomp on him, run over him a few times. That sure sounds like violence to me. And this story has disappeared because the media in this town has once again acted as if, well, you know, he made a weak apology, or he made a weak excuse. That's good enough for us. Do you want to know how you can tell there is a bias in how this stuff is getting reported? Think about for 1 second if Ilhan Omar was in a rotunda of a Capitol building and called for the Republican Party, who was writing a bill that she didn't like, to be thrown to the curb, stomped on, and run over a few times. You think people would not be talking about that? You don't think that the number one headline across the country would be Congresswoman wants violence? For God's sakes, this country would go insane. She hasn't advocated that, but Cal Barr did. Cal Barr called for the physical violence against the other party in the Capitol Rotunda. And you guys are just batting your eyes and telling me how much more worse Ilhan Omar is. I don't tolerate anti-Semitism, but Cal Barr called for violence against the opposition party. How in the hell is that not a story? You want to cover Ilhan Omar? Fine. Then cover Steve King. And cover, for God's sakes, cover Cal Barr, too. This selective outrage is pathetic, and it's obnoxious at this point. It's unbelievably obnoxious. And how am I supposed to look at it? The reason why Ilhan Omar out there is because she's a black woman who's a Muslim. We'll criticize her, but Steve King, white guy from Iowa, who should be just as much thrown under the bus, if not more so, because he keeps doing this. He's completely absent from your condemnation. And Cal Barr, for God's sakes, called for violence against Democrats. For God's sakes, people. How in the hell is that not a major story? Well, the Republicans don't want to talk about it. Well, then be the journalist that you guys wish you were. God, last night, Late Night with Seth Meyers had a fantastic little bit on newspaper movie. These newspaper movies that these journalists fall in love with because they, oh, look at them, they're going for the hard facts. For God's sakes, go out there and start doing your damn job. At least, maybe, put a microphone in every Republican's face like you do with Democrats and say, should Cal Barr resign? Do you condemn Cal Barr? You guys haven't done that. Or how about you go to Washington, D.C. and put a microphone in every Republican's face? Do you condemn Steve King? We can condemn and we can criticize Ilhan Omar.
But if we're going to do it, then let's start criticizing this. And every time these guys make anti-Semitic comments, for God's sakes, start acting like it's a bad thing. And not only when it's a bad thing because it's Ilhan Omar saying it. And for God's sakes, will someone get Cal Barr's ass out of the Minnesota State Capitol? That guy should have been fired the minute he said that. Damn it. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. David, hold on. I'll get your call right after the break. I'll try to run some other calls as well. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for 25 years. You'll not find someone who loves their job more than me. The process of painting your home could not be easier. Go to nickslavik.com, click on the button Paint My Walls or Paint My Cabinets. I'll personally be in contact with you to get an estimate, either in-home or a free virtual estimate. We move furniture, vacuum, sweep, dust, and put your home back the way we found it. We're not like other contractors.
The average person is hit by 55 stressors daily. And if you have a high-stress job or life situation, it's even higher. What can we do to lower stress levels and increase health? Awaken Living offers sessions using the AlphaStim, a unique tool that transmits a patented electrical wavelength to modulate the cell's signals to the brain. This shifts you from the stress mode to relaxation. When we're continually stressed, our brains and bodies tend to forget how to calm down. The Awakened Living Alpha Stim puts you in an alpha state. This is a relaxed state that athletes and artists go to when they're in the zone. The Awakened Living Alpha Stim reduces stress, pain, anxiety, depression, and insomnia without medication. You'll be surprised how relaxed you feel. This therapy may be experienced alone or in conjunction with several other therapies, including the biomat and acupuncture. So come relax at Awakened Living by calling 952-452-8583 or visit awakenlivinginfusion.com.
Once again, I condemn Ilhan Omar. Shouldn't have said that. But I also condemn Steve King. And I sure as hell am going to condemn Cal Barr. And I'm going to condemn Cal Barr every damn day until I see someone in this town give what he said the proper credence it should in the news. He called for violence against the opposition party in the Capitol Rotunda. And you guys go home. If someone, for God's sakes, from that rally actually does try to commit violence against the Democrats, not only is Cal Barr going to be somewhat responsible from his actions and from his comments at that Rotunda press debacle or, you know, speech rally, but I personally think the media would be too, because they haven't condemned this nearly with the fire and intensity that it should have been condemned with. He put out his lie of an excuse, and we basically went, oh, my gosh, that's going to be it. David is in San Francisco. David, I'm sorry to put you on hold for as long as you have. Welcome onto the show.
Oh, no problem, Matt. I had a beard I needed to grow, so it wasn't. It's gotten its use.
Okay, you've been there for a while.
Hey, well, you know, there's a famous line, the Christians, you know, Jesus tearing apart the temple and saying, you know, raging against the merchants in the temple.
Yes.
You know, America has had that problem where the, you know, General Eisenhower warned us against the military-industrial complex breaking apart our country in the name of fear and you know, their own greed. Well, that's simply what's going on in Israel. the military-industrial complex are in league with the real estate brokers who love this idea of declaring an enemy, and then by declaring an enemy, they're able to kick people off this land, and then it turns out that that land is, you know, you start going into Gaza, it turns out there's more fracking gas in Gaza than, you know, biggest patch in the world or something like that. You go to Dick Cheney, Netanyahu sold him the fracking rights to the Golan Heights, and his company, of course, is Genie Oil Gas. And so this whole thing is really just merchants in the temple. And the religious right are nothing more than, you know, merchants in the temple, because they're selling themselves to these real estate brokers in the military-industrial complex.
Well, and David, I'm going to step in here because we're kind of getting into a lot of things. I'm mainly talking about Ilhan Omar, and we can talk about the military-industrial complex. We can definitely talk about Dick Cheney and his back-end deals because, folks, if you ever look into Dick Cheney and what he's been doing, oh my, what he did while he was – the vice president, he's basically made sure that his great, 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 great grandkids never have to work a day, and he only had to sell out the United States to do it. It was pretty disgusting. The reality is that I'm talking about, if we're going to condemn anti-Semitism, then we need to condemn it. And that means all the Republicans, which there have been dozens of Republicans making anti-Semitic comments over the last 10 years, and hardly anyone's batted an eye. Ilhan Omar makes a comment, and all of a sudden everyone's outraged. And then as everyone's outraged about her, Steve King does it again. And no one even bats an eye there. Come on. Consistency, people. And once again, Cal Barr should get the most grief because, once again, of calling for violence against the opposition party while in the Capitol Rotunda. Betty is in Minnetonka. Let's get Betty on in here. Thanks for holding, Betty. Welcome on in.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I think part of the reaction to Ilhan Omar is that she would be talking about the way the Israelis treat the Palestinians.
Well,
and that's a way of shutting her up before we get to before she can say that.
Well, and it was Betty, that's another interesting element of it. I mean, some of these groups have been very, very upset at the people who have brought forth the idea of aid for the Palestinians. And as a matter of fact, I was reading earlier today about Betty McCollum actually had an issue with this. In 2006, Representative Betty McCollum, Democrat of Minnesota, who had advocated humanitarian aid for Palestinians, wrote an angry letter to Mr. Kaur asking AIPAC would be barred from her offices until it apologized for the behavior of one of its representatives who had berated her chief of staff, Bill Harper, and then said Mrs. McCollum's support for terrorists will not be tolerated because all she was doing was advocating for aid for the Palestinians. It is – the complexities of this issue are not – something that you can easily address in the next 40 seconds, which we have here in this show. But the reality is that the when you talk about inappropriate comments, it is fair to condemn Ilhan Omar. Absolutely. We should also condemn the anti-Islamic comments made against Ilhan Omar. We should also make the, you know, the white supremacist comments of Steve King outraged just as well. And Cal Barr, a representative in Minnesota, called for violence against the Democrats. He called for it in the Capitol Rotunda. For God's sakes, people, let's have some consistency across the board, shall we? Back tomorrow. Brett's in next till tomorrow. See ya.